We've been learning a lot about the blessings of God and His purpose to bless us in our lives. And indeed, He does want to bless you. And my heart's desire is to receive everything that God has for me. And I know that's your desire as well. And certainly my desire for you is that you'll receive all that God has for you, all the blessings that He has purpose for your life. We spent some time talking about the areas of God's blessings, some of the areas, broad areas where God wants to bless us. And then we began looking at what I call the avenues of God's blessings. And that is, if you and I are going to receive all the blessings that God has for us, then we've got to get on the right road and the right avenue, and so that we can receive everything that God has purposed for us. And we've been discovering what that is, and we discovered that it begins with the avenue of salvation. And that is that while God blesses all of His creation in some measure, ladies and gentlemen, the blessings of God are found in their fullness in Christ. And it is only those who are in Christ, who received Him as the Lord of their life, that are able to receive all that God has for them, all the blessings of God that He has for us as humanity is found in the redemption that He has provided for us in Christ. And many of you already are on that road. You've gotten off the wide road that leads to destruction that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, and you've gotten on the narrow road. And the reason why you did is because you met Jesus and He put you on a brand new avenue. It's called Salvation Avenue. You got off of Lost Avenue and you got on Salvation Avenue. Now listen, as you're traveling down the avenue of salvation on your way to glory, there's a lot of little avenues off of Salvation Avenue that now you can travel down, and they lead to blessing in your life. We've discovered what they are. That is, we've dealt with the avenue of humility in John 13. We looked at the avenue of prayer and discovered, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that you will never receive if you don't ask. And we talked about the avenue of repentance. And we dealt with the avenue of obedience, just obeying God. We dealt with the avenue of giving. Last Sunday, some of you were here, and we looked at the Word of God and discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that if you and I are going to receive blessing, then we've got to learn how to give. And this past Wednesday night, I dealt with the avenue of contentment. And we discovered that great gain, great blessing comes, ladies and gentlemen, from godliness coupled with contentment. And we learned a lot about contentment in the service this past Wednesday evening. So I want to preach to you for a little while out of Psalm 1 about the avenue of separation. The avenue of separation. If you and I are going to be able to discover all that God has for us in the terms of blessings, then we got to get on the avenue of separation. Listen, as you're traveling down Salvation's Avenue on your way to glory, for those of you that are saved, you may come to a crossroad as you're traveling. And if you go one direction, it's called conformity to the world. It's what Paul warned about in Romans 12 when he told us in verse number 2 not to be conformed to the world. And the other split in the road, the other direction, is called separation. If you want to be blessed, you got to get on the right avenue. And that is, you can't live a life that is conformed to the world if you want to receive all the blessings that God has for you. You got to live a life separated. And we see that right here in Psalm 1. Notice what it says in the first three verses. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I want you to notice with me there that the book of Psalms, a book of 150 Psalms, starts out with the very first Psalm talking about the blessed man, the man that is indeed receiving and experiencing the blessings of God in his life. And it becomes obvious, ladies and gentlemen, that while the word is not used, it becomes obvious here that he's talking about the man who is blessed living a life that is characterized by separation. And that is, this kind of separation that I'm talking about begins with separation from the world. Separation from the world. It becomes obvious to us as you read verse number 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Those who are blessed are those who've separated themselves from the world. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says here, the man who is blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In the Bible, the Christian life is often compared to a walk. And that is, it starts with a step of faith when you and I are brought to the point of believing and trusting in Christ for salvation. And then after you're saved, ladies and gentlemen, we keep on walking. And we're walking down an avenue. We're walking down a path, Salvation's Avenue or Salvation's path. And listen to me now. As you're walking down Salvation's path, there are going to be those, ladies and gentlemen, the ungodly that are going to try to distract you, the world around you that's going to try to distract you from walking with God and becoming everything God wants you to be. The man that is blessed, receiving the blessings of God, is careful in his walk. That is, in the direction of his life. That is, in the path or the road or the avenue that he is walking down, so that he doesn't walk out of the center of the will of God for his life and miss out on the blessings in his life. Those who are blessed, ladies and gentlemen, for that reason are those who do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the ungodly are simply those that are unlike God. They are not like God. That is, they are ungodly, they are wicked, they have no place for God in their life. They're living according to a pattern or direction in life that is without God. And God is not the center of their life. He's not the one that's providing the direction for their life. That is the ungodly. Now, the man or the person who is blessed of God doesn't walk in their counsel, the Bible tells us here, which means he doesn't take counsel from them as to the way that he should live. He doesn't follow the world's advice. The advice of the ungodly is not what he follows. He doesn't execute the purposes and plans of the ungodly, that is, of the worldly, in his life. And he doesn't frame his life according to the world's values, according to the world's pattern of life. His plans and purposes is independent of the world. He looks to God for guidance and not the ungodly around him. That is, when he needs direction, he looks to the godly and he does not look to the ungodly. That is, when he needs to make decisions, instead of trying to take the advice of the ungodly, is looking to those who know the Word of God, that are striving to follow the will of God, and there comes his counsel, his help, his direction. If you want to be blessed of God, then listen to me now, you've got to separate yourself from the world, that is, from the ungodly counsel of the world. Listen, that means you cannot get your counsel, your direction, or your philosophy of life. You can't get it, ladies and gentlemen, from the sitcoms on television. It means that you can't get it from many of the websites that maybe you might be tempted to visit. It means you got to get into the Word of God, and you got to listen to the people of God, and you've got to let God provide direction for your life. Yeah, that is, those who are separated from the world are those who are not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the man who's going to be able to experience the blessings of God. Not only that, but the Bible says here in verse number 1, not only does he walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, but he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Now, standing is a more fixed position, a more decided position than walking. He's not just walking, but now he's actually standing. That is, he's more fixed. But notice where he's standing, in the way of sinners. That is, by standing in the path where they're found, that is where they usually go, he's indicating a desire that he's waiting for them and desiring to be associated with the ungodly and the worldly crowd. That is, instead of passing along as usual, he's now standing there in the path where sinners usually go and linger, because he wants to be with them, that is, in a more fixed position. He's not only just walking in their counsel, but now he's actually standing in their way. That is, in the path, he's in the path where they're walking. Now listen, if you're saved and you get on the path where the ungodly are walking and in the direction in which they're going, then you just might as well mark it down. You're not on the path of separation. You're not on the avenue of separation. You got on the wrong road. And it's not going to lead to the blessings of God in your life. And that is not all that God wants to bless you with. Instead of walking in the counsel of the ungodly, he's now standing in the way of sinners and those who are openly in rebellion against God. He's standing in their way. The man who is truly blessed and happy doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Listen to the wisdom of the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Listen to Proverbs 24:1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. What I'm trying to get you to see in this very first verse of the Psalms, ladies and gentlemen, is the man who is blessed is the one, ladies and gentlemen, who not only does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but is does not stand in the way of sinners. And then you might have noticed the third phrase, and that is, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now listen, the man who sits in the seat of the scornful isn't just walking with them. He's not just standing in their way where they're usually found. But now, ladies and gentlemen, he's actually sitting with them, occupying a seat with them. That is, he's become connected to and associated with the ungodly and worldly crowd. You ought to be able to see the progression here. He's walking, and then he's standing, and then he is sitting. Now, you know how that is, don't you? And the reason why is because you might do that in a little while. And that is, it may be that you did that when you came here to the church building, and that is that you walked in. And as you walked in, you finally got into the building, and when you got into the building, you just stood there for a little while because somebody was talking to you after you got in there. But then finally, after you walked in and then you stood there for a while, you finally sat down. And when you sat down, this is what this means, and that is, this is where I'm going to be for a little while. That is, I'm not leaving, I'm staying here, and I'm glad you did. And I hope you keep on sitting for just a little while longer. Even you see the progression. And even so it is, it's using that kind of imagery here to state this, and that is that the man who is going to be blessed of God, who's going to experience God's blessings on his life, ladies and gentlemen, he can't be walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And listen to me now, he can't be standing in the way of sinners. And he can't be seated in the seat of the scornful. It's the picture of progression. And that is of somebody who's just hanging around with the ungodly. And then he's desiring to be with them, standing in their way. And then he is, ladies and gentlemen, connected to them because he is sitting with them. He's going to stay there in that situation for a while. He's sitting in the seat of the scornful. Those who are scornful, ladies and gentlemen, are those who mock and scoff at the things of God. They mock God. They have no fear of God, no respect for the things of God. And listen, when you start sitting in the seat of the scornful, that means that you're becoming like them, that you're connecting with them, that you're going along in life in a relationship with them. Listen, those who are going to be blessed, you can't yoke up with scorners. You got to separate yourself from the worldly an ungodly crowd. I want you to see the downward course of a person who will not separate themselves from the ungodly of this world. That is the downward spiral of casually walking with the wicked, listening to their counsel, listening to their plans and values. That is you being informed by the world. It's the idea of your lifestyle being informed by the ungodly world around you. That what you're learning is from the world, that the values you're developing are from the world. That is, that you are receiving your plans and direction in life from the world around you. And then after listening to the counsel, you're just standing in their path. That is desiring, now desiring to be with the worldly crowd. Wanting to be hanging around, that is, with the worldly crowd. And then finally sitting in their seat, joining up with them, that is, participating and condoning their wickedness, participating in the wickedness of the world. Listen, there are people right now, and you may think of somebody when I say that, that at one time in their life would have never even thought that they would be involved in the wickedness that they're involved in at this moment. You say, what happened to them? Well, they started walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And after walking in the counsel of the ungodly for a little while, they found themselves standing in the way of sinners. And then listen to me now, after standing in the way of sinners for some time, then they found themselves seated in the seat of the scornful that is actually participating with them in their wickedness, that is condoning their sin. Now listen, you won't be blessed if you go down that road. I'm talking about being conformed to the world. That's what Paul warned about. You say, Pastor, could that happen to a believer? Well, why would Paul write in Romans 12:1, don't be conformed to the world if it wasn't a possibility? And that is, the world is trying to conform you, and that is, it's trying to shape you into its mold. The world wants to push its values on you. That is this evil system that the devil has developed around us. He's trying to conform your life to that. He's putting pressure on you to conform your life to the world so that you look like the world, so that you act like the world, so that you reflect the values of the world instead of being the men and women of God that God has saved us to be. Now, God wants to bless you, ladies and gentlemen, but if you go down this road, down the pathway, down the avenue of conformity and not separation from the world, then you're going to miss out on the blessings of God for your life. Now, the reason why I'm preaching this is because I don't want you to miss out on everything God had purposed for you and for your life. Now, listen, let me give you an Old Testament example of this in the remaining time that we have. There's a man in the Old Testament that is the example of what I'm preaching about, and is the man named Lot. Now, most of you know who I'm talking about. You remember the story of this man named Lot. And that is how he left his father's house with Abraham, his uncle. And Abraham received a call from God. God said to Abraham, I want you to leave your home, and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, and bless you, and bless everybody that blesses you. And there's going to be nothing but blessing in your life. And Lot was connected to Abraham. And whenever Abraham left, he took his wife, he took Lot. And ladies and gentlemen, God blessed Abraham. And guess who else God blessed? He blessed Lot. They were blessed, and a great measure of their blessing was found in their great wealth. And God is blessing them. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that after a quarrel between their herdsmen, they became so blessed that it was impossible for them to remain in proximity to one another. They had so much cattle and so much livestock, and their herdsmen began to quarrel with one another, and they were forced to separate from one another. And so Lot, Abraham said, Lot, we've got to part from one another, and I want you, I'll let you make the decision what direction you want to go in, and I'll go the other direction. And in Genesis chapter number 13, the Bible tells us that Lot looked out across the well-watered plains of the Jordan, and he decided that's the direction I want to go in. And the Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, as many of you know, are two of the most wicked cities that have ever existed. And the Bible tells us that this man named Lot, he decided to go in that direction. Now, listen to me now. He's been blessed, blessed, blessed. God has blessed him. As a matter of fact, when you read Peter's second letter, second epistle, 2 Peter chapter number 2, you'll find out that not only was Abraham a righteous man, but you'll find out that Lot was a righteous man. He's described by Peter as a righteous man, which means that he was justified. We would consider him to be a saved man. And God, he's on the right path. He's walking the right avenue. Listen, as long as he's with Uncle Abraham, he is being blessed, blessed, and more blessed. He's on the right path. That is, God has revealed his will and his plan and his purpose for Abraham, and Lot's right there with Uncle Abraham and walking alongside God's will and God's purpose, and God is blessing them. But listen to me now. It's obvious now that Lot has decided to get on a different road. And that is, he's decided to take a different avenue. He's been living a lifestyle that is set apart. He's been living in tents with Uncle Abraham and a life that is set apart from the world and set apart to God. But now the Bible tells us, and when he saw the well-watered plains of the Jordan, he decided to take a different avenue. And that is, he decided, you know what? I believe I'm going to go in that direction. That is, in the direction that eventually led him to Sodom and Gomorrah. And eventually, Lot and his family eventually ended up living in that wicked city. And you remember that God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He sent the angels to the city to warn Lot to flee, and he lingered and tarried trying to convince his family to leave, and the angels finally had to drag Lot out, ladies and gentlemen, his wife, two daughters, out of the city, and before it was destroyed. And as they were fleeing, Lot's wife looked back after being warned not to, looked back and became a pillar of salt, and then Lot ended up living in a cave with his two daughters, and they decided they didn't want the family line to die out, and so they got him drunk, and they engaged in a sexual relationship with him and conceived two sons that became two of the wicked nations that Israel had to deal with in the future. You say, Pastor, that's an interesting story, but how does it fit in? Well, the Bible says in Romans 15:4 that all of these things were written for our learning. Ours upon whom the ends of the world have come. These are an example for all of us. The story of Lot serves as a warning, ladies and gentlemen, for you and I today. An example of a man who was saved. He was a righteous man. But listen, he missed out on the blessings of God in his life. He lost. He became a real loser. And listen, while there may be many who are saved whose life are missing out on the blessings of God, that is, they're living a life that God didn't intend for them to live and missing out on what God intended for them to experience. So many people, ladies and gentlemen, today that profess to be saved, that are indeed may well be, but they're missing out. That is, they're losing when it comes to the life that God wants them to live. You see, the thing that Lot lost is he lost his separation to God. He lost his separation. He wandered away from following the will of God for his life. And he lost it. It wasn't just sudden, but it was gradual. But ladies and gentlemen, that's what happened to him. And that is that Abraham was a godly man, separated, walking by faith. God said, go, and he went. He's walking by faith. And as long as Lot is following that kind of leadership in his life, he also is living a separated life. Because he's following the right leadership. He's following the man of God who's been listening to the Word of God. He's living a separated life. And Abraham and Lot had many material possessions. Again, God had blessed them greatly. But the fact that they never built a permanent dwelling but lived in tents indicates, ladies and gentlemen, that they understood that they were living a separated life. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He had his eyes on eternal things and not on the temporal things of this life. Abraham understood this world is not his home. That is, he's looking for a heavenly home. He's got another purpose in mind, and that is the will of God and the purpose of God. And so he didn't allow himself to get attached to the world. He just lived in tents and didn't even build a permanent dwelling. He's not allowing himself to get attached to the world. He's a separated man, separated from the world. And as long as Lot is traveling with Uncle Abraham and following the leadership of this godly man, he also is separated from the world. But there came a day whenever Abraham and Lot, again, they had to part ways, and Lot chose which direction he was going to go in, and he departed from Uncle Abraham. And listen now, when you get away from the man of God and the Word of God, and before long, you're going to start conforming to the world around you. And that's what happened in his life. He got attracted to and attached to worldliness. He lost his separation from God. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Lot started walking in the wrong path? That is, he started walking towards Sodom. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 13 and verse number 12. In Genesis chapter number 13 and verse number 12, the Word of God says that Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. In other words, this man, ladies and gentlemen, he's on the move. And he's headed in a direction. And the direction that he's going, he's walking towards Sodom. He's not only walking towards Sodom, but when you get to the next chapter in Genesis 14, he is standing with Sodom. In Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 12, they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. The Bible tells us here that when some kings attacked the city of Sodom, and the Bible says there's the men of Sodom are standing against them and captured by them, and you know who is standing with them? Why, this man named Lot is. And he got captured by the kings that came and attacked the cities of Sodom as well. You can read the story there in Genesis 14. Listen, he walked towards Sodom in Genesis 13. He's standing with Sodom in Genesis 14. And do you know that he's sitting in Sodom in Genesis 19? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 19 that this man named Lot, whenever God decided to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent two angels there to destroy the cities. And the Bible says in Genesis 19:1, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. There he is. He walked towards Sodom, and then he's standing with Sodom. And now the Bible says he's sitting in Sodom. He's sitting in the gate, at the gate of the city. You say, Pastor, why is he sitting at the gate? Because that's where all the business is done. That's the business district. in ancient cities and is telling us that Lot, ladies and gentlemen, is very much involved in, very much committed to the city of Sodom. You see, what I'm trying to get you to see is Lot's life. He's doing exactly what Psalm 1 tells us not to do. That is, he's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's standing in the way of sinners. He's sitting in the seat of the scornful. This man that at one time was set apart, separated, ladies and gentlemen, from the world around him as he followed the will of God, and his uncle Abraham has now, ladies and gentlemen, lost his separation. And over a gradual period of time of just walking and then standing and then setting, he's no longer separated to God, but he's becoming conformed to the world around him, acting like the world, living like the world, tolerating the wickedness of the world around him. You say, Pastor, why was he doing that? I mean, what happened to Lot that caused him to do that? Let me just mention a few reasons why that Lot was no longer separated to God. Number one, it's because he was walking by sight and not by faith. Listen, when he looked out across the well-watered plains of the Jordan and saw what he saw with his eyes, he thought to himself, man, that'll make me rich. I like the way that looks. Now listen, it didn't matter at that point what the will of God was, and it didn't matter what the purpose of God was, and he saw what he wanted for himself. That is, he wanted the well-watered plains of the Jordan. And ladies and gentlemen, it didn't make any difference that it was going to lead towards Sodom, that it was the direction towards Sodom and Gomorrah. That didn't matter. Listen, when he made that all-important decision in his life about what direction he's going to go in, that is, all he could see was what he could see and not what God was saying. He was operating by sight and not by faith. And that's the reason why that it begins this process of losing his separation and becoming conformed to the world. The same is still true in our day. And that is, there are many people professing believers who are living their lives just based on sight and not by faith. That is, instead of making decisions based on what God is saying to us and what his will is to us, all we are doing is operating on the basis of what we see and what's going to benefit ourselves. He's not walking by faith. He's walking by sight, not by faith. Let me just say a second thing about the reason why Lot lost his separation. The reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is because he's more concerned about laying up treasure than he is on earth as he is laying up treasure in heaven. He's focused, ladies and gentlemen, on the treasures of this life. He looks out across the well-parted plains of the Jordan River, and he just sees in that plains, he sees out there success. He sees wealth. He thought, that will make me rich. He's walking by sight, and he's just focused on success and wealth. His life is revolving only around materialism and not around the will of God. What I'm trying to describe to you, ladies and gentlemen, is what messed him up. That is, he walked by sight. And he focused on success, that is, more concerned about laying up treasures upon the earth. And then he conformed to Sodom. He just began to allow the ungodliness in Sodom and Gomorrah, allowed that to begin to shape his decisions and shape his life. Just like Paul warned us about in Romans 12:2, he just began to conform to their lifestyle. What we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is what happened to this man. We find that he lost fellowship with God. He lost touch with God. He's just not walking in fellowship with God as he's drifting towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not walking in the ways of God. He's lost touch with God. He had no encounter with the presence of God anymore. Well, the Bible says back in Genesis chapter number 13 and verse number 14, the Bible talks about the presence of God in the life of Abraham. Here's what it says. The Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. After Lot departed, ladies and gentlemen, God is speaking to Abraham. But guess who's not there? Who's not there to hear the word of God? Well, Lot's not. Hey, God is speaking, but he's not talking to Lot. The presence of God is there, but Lot is not in the presence of God. What I'm trying to describe to you is is what happened to Lot. That is, this man who's no longer separated from God. He walked by sight. He's just focused on success. He's become conformed to Sodom. He's lost his fellowship with God. God is speaking, and he's not there. He's not experiencing the presence of God. And by the way, this man named Lot, he had no experience with the peace of God as well. When Peter writes about him in 2 Peter chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 6 through 9, he tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that this man, Lot, this righteous man, that his soul was vexed because of the wickedness of that city. And that word vexed is a word that describes a man who has no peace. He is miserable, miserable, miserable. That is, Lot is a miserable man. Now, the reason why he's miserable, ladies and gentlemen, is because he's not separating himself from the world, but he's allowed himself to become conformed to the world. And for that reason, he's not having fellowship with God. Listen, for somebody who's known the fellowship of God, and now they're out of fellowship with God, they're miserable. And this guy was. His soul was vexed. He had no experience of the peace of God. He had no evidence of the power of God in his life either. The Bible tells us that whenever the kings, this coalition of kings in Genesis 14 came against Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was already living inside the city, ladies and gentlemen, and Lot had no power, no ability to be able to defeat the kings that came against the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The cities were taken captive. Lot and many other men were also taken into captivity. And if you read Genesis 14, which I don't have time to do, you'll find out that in that story that Uncle Abraham had to finally come and rescue Lot and rescue all the men of Sodom out of the hands of this coalition of kings. That is, Abraham had the power of God on his life, but Lot had no power. That is, the enemy defeated him. Let me just say it again. This man is living a defeated life. He was defeated by the enemy. He had no power to fight against and to resist the enemy. And the reason why is because he wasn't living a separated life. Abraham had the power to be able to defeat the enemy, but not Lot. That is, he's out of fellowship with God, isn't he? And that is, he's not experiencing the presence of God. He's not experiencing the peace of God. And he's not experiencing the power of God in his life. When you follow the life of Lot, you'll see a man, ladies and gentlemen, that's just out of fellowship with God. That is, he's no longer separate. He's walking by sight. He's focused on success. He's just conforming his life to the city of Sodom. He's lost out and missed out on his fellowship with God. He reminds me of Samson, a man who had the power of God upon his life, and yet because he became conformed to the world, yielded to the flesh, he lost his power with God and was taken captive by the enemy. And listen to me now, the same thing can happen in lives today. If you lose your separation to God, you don't stay separated from the world and start walking with the world, that's where it leads to. He lost his separation to God, and this man lost his influence for God. Lot did. The Bible tells us that because Lot didn't remain living a separated life, he had no influence in his life anymore. He had no influence on his friends. That is, when the Bible tells us in Genesis 19, when the time came for God to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible tells us that he went and tried to plead with his friends who came that night. And the two angels have come to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible tells us that they are staying in the house of Lot. And the men of the city gather around the house. They want those two angels. They want Lot to send them out so that they can have their way with them and with the wickedness of the cities of Sodom. They want to commit homosexual acts with them, ladies and gentlemen. And as a result of that, Lot said no. And he even offered his daughters in their place. But listen, he had no influence with his friends in the city of Sodom, and they stormed the house anyway, and the angels smote them with blindness at the door. What I'm trying to describe to you is the lack of influence that Lot had in his life. He had no influence with his friends when they came to his home to take the angels. Ladies and gentlemen, he had no influence with his children, with his family. That is, he went to his daughters and told them, his family, that the judgment of God is getting ready to come on the city, and they would not listen, but instead they mocked him as though he didn't know what he was talking about in Genesis 19, verses 12 through 14. He's lost his influence with his family, that is, his children have turned away. And ladies and gentlemen, he has no influence with his wife and said, don't look back. And she looked back anyway and came a pillar of salt. His daughters who escaped with him, they laid down with him in a cave and had intercourse with him. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result, brought shame to him and dishonored him and the entire family. He had no influence, no godly influence with his friends or no godly influence with his family. It's a sad story about this man named Lot. You see, if you don't stay separated from the world, you lose everything. You lose your separation to God. You lose your fellowship with God. You lose your influence for God. And listen to me now. You'll miss out on all the blessings that God had for you as well. And that is certainly true of this man. All the blessings that God had given to him are now gone at the end of the story. Everything's gone. His friends, they went down in flames. The Bible tells us that when finally the time of judgment came on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that the angels took Lot and his wife and his two daughters and he drug them outside of the city. But behind them, ladies and gentlemen, the judgment of God fell, and all the friends that he had, all of his worldly friends, ladies and gentlemen, they went down in the flames. When the judgment of God came, they came under the judgment of God. You see, that's what worldliness does. That is, worldliness causes you to miss out on the blessings of God, and that is, the friends that God gave him, ladies and gentlemen, the ones that he should have been influencing, the ones that he should have been pointing towards the Lord, they're now under the judgment of God. They went down in flames. And by the way, not only did his friends go down in flames, but his finances went up in smoke. Remember all the blessings I tried to describe to you earlier that God gave to him? That is, like Uncle Abraham, God blessed this man with wealth and cattle and flocks and herds. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that when the story was over, he had absolutely nothing. It all just went up in smoke as the judgment of God came on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. As the fire and brimstone fell on those cities, everything that this man had, everything that God had blessed him with and wanted to bless him with, it was gone. All of his blessings are gone. And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is because he pitched his tent in the wrong direction. He sure did. And I'll tell you that his family went on, but in disgrace. His finances went up in smoke. His friends went down in the flames. His family went on. His family went on, but in much disgrace. He laid there with his daughters, drunk. They conceived. Gave birth to two sons that eventually became two nations. Wicked, wicked nations. That is, his descendants, his family, went on in disgrace. What I'm trying to describe to you is what the psalmist talked about. And that is, if you want to be blessed by God, you got to get on the right avenue. It's the avenue of separation. That is, you'll miss out on the blessings of God that he had for your life, that he had purpose for you, if you start walking in the counsel of the ungodly like Lot did. If you start standing in the way of sinners like Lot did. If you start sitting in the seat of the scornful like Lot did. Then you'll find yourself at the end of the story having missed out on all that God wanted to bless you with. You see, when you're traveling down Salvation's Avenue, child of God, I mean, you've heard the Word of God. You've been walking with the man of God, Abraham. You've experienced the blessings of God. And now all of a sudden, standing before you is a crossroad. Am I going to continue to live a life separated to God, separated from the world, or a life that is conformed to the world? Am I going to let the ungodly world become my counsel? Am I going to let the ungodly world inform my choices? Am I going to let the ungodly world set the direction and establish the values of my life? Or am I going to separate myself from the world and separate myself to God? Listen, the man who's blessed is the one who is on the avenue called separation. If you don't get on that avenue, you're going to miss out on the blessings of God. Now let me just have you to stop for a moment and just think about this question. And that is, what avenue am I on? What pathway, what road, what direction am I headed in? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you do your work in our hearts, that you'll speak to us loudly, work in us, Father, in such a way that we can respond like we should and get everything surrendered to you. And for those, Father, that are headed down the wrong road, God, I pray that you'd let them see it. God, that you'll turn their hearts around towards you. Father, even in this moment, God, turn those hearts toward you. God, they might respond to you, get everything surrendered to you, get on the right road, the right path. God, I pray, Father, that you'll operate in such a way that, God, those, Lord, that are flirting with the world, God, those, Lord, that are looking down that road of success, God, that are compromising that which is good and godly for that which is worldly, God, I pray that you correct us, to get us on the right road so we can live for you and experience the blessings of your power and presence in our life. And we just give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.